Hello and welcome to Viewpoints. This week's show will be quite different as journalist Ian Gregg connects the dots between past and present as he investigates Prince George's indie record retail scene. We will, for most of this half hour, follow his footsteps and let him guide us across town. Then, the NDG Art Hop brings the public to local artists. And we'll also meet up with young Liverpool filmmakers who are creating quite a buzz in their hometown and even beyond. Welcome to the show. My name is Boris Chassin. So here we are strolling in the streets of Prince George thanks to Ian Gregg in British Columbia. Ian went to search for the elusive Larry Prasad. Prasad and his partner are the keepers of a local record store called Second Thoughts Buy and Sell. Together, they have weathered music industry upheavals for years. The retail space quietly survived in downtown Prince George, Cleet Lee Tenay. In this radio feature, Ian Gregg embarks upon an exploration of the town's independent record scene, and Ian thought that Larry Prasad was the ideal person to talk to. He, however, proved very difficult to track down. In Gregg's quest for Larry, he discovers some things about the local scene in Prince George as he explores the now-shuttered Meow Records. While pursuing Prasad, Ian Gregg chased him to a Deadfall Brewing DJ night. There, proprietor Aaron Berwald said, talking about the very discreet Larry, "He just knows the spectrum of people's tastes. Details on Larry Prasad scarce." And that's the way it stays in this story by Ian Gregg in Prince George, BC.
Sifting through rumors and hearsay, it was difficult to pin down hard evidence on the significance of brick and mortar music retailers, also known as record stores, in our community. This radio correspondent lipped through the grit-laden streets to interview representatives of the two remaining record stores in our community of Prince George, Cleet Lee Tenay. One of the two, Sunrise Records, is part of a chain, so isn't really a local record store. And also, they didn't respond to my email. This narrowed down our options to exclusively cover the one remaining brick-and-mortar record store, Second Thoughts Buy and Sell, a location that nearly every musician in town frequents, or at least knows of. Tucked beneath the stretching shadows of a downtown parking garage, I stood across the street in its cool shade, where I could see a city bus pull away and reveal this gem sandwiched between the layers of cement. Who is this character? Larry Prasad, proprietor of a physical media distributor. What kind of person operates within the parameters of the free market to provide analog formats of audio, both new and previously loved pressings of every genre? I entered. There, the reclusive but brilliant Larry Prasad presided over a cash register and declined to be interviewed.
How you feeling so far, Larry? No comment. All right.
Yes, this is all I could get on record of this local gifted curator of music, Larry Prasad. However, there was a lone bystander available within the retail space willing to speak.
Andrew Marinus, M-A-R-I-N-U-S.
Andrew and I spoke while Larry shrank away from eye and ear contact behind the cash register.
Where are we today, Andrew?
We're in Second Thoughts, downtown PG. Best store in the city, I would say.
Oh, what kind of store is it?
Secondhand media store. So music, DVDs, records, books about music and movies and so on. It's a nice cultural center for any of the local musicians, anyone who's a movie fan, looking for things that you don't often find on the shelves.
What do you think the role of a record store is in the Prince George community? What do you think, what kind of a gap does this kind of place address?
The gap of knowledge. Like, there's so many excellent bands out there that people just don't hear about, and the proprietor of such a store, they have the knowledge that you can come in and ask, hey, I love this album, this band member, can you recommend something? And Larry absolutely can. Larry's helped me find a lot of bands and whole genres that I didn't know about a few years ago, so another reason to come on down. The bands Spoon and Hot Ship I both found here through high recommendations of Larry, and every single album that I've heard from either of them, just loving intensely.
What do you think is the importance of physical media and a place that sells records in this era of online streaming and digital music and the non-physical medium, which is so popular right now?
It's always worth having your own copy of something that you love, because the streams are not always reliable.
What was your favorite find in your experience at Prince George Record Stores?
It is a hard question. I mean, I first encountered LCD Sound System through here, Corner Shop, the band, through here. Happy Mondays, discovered just in the last few months, and loved their album Bummed. That's great post-punk, funk, psychedelic funk. The discoveries keep on coming. That's why I keep on coming back.
Thanks for your time, Andrew. I appreciate it.
I was stonewalled, but I had it on good authority that Mr. Prasad would be DJing an exclusive vinyl collection at Deadfall Brewing the very next Saturday after Second Thought's buy and sell closed. There, at the brewery, I could ensnare Mr. Prasad with my audio cables and coerce him to articulate the value of his efforts to the community and its music scene. After all, no one could say it better than him. Though Andrew did a heck of a job standing in for him. With 5 days until the event, I had to think. Sorting through the store's vintage array of media playing devices, I processed the gravity of where I was. In a record store. This one, here, in the now, the present. If Prasad didn't want to talk, perhaps a proprietor of a record store past may be willing to chat. While I filled the time in between, I learned that Second Thoughts had been operating for well over a decade, and at one point, faced competition in this small but cutthroat independent record store economy. Yes, before Second Thought secured the corner on the independent record store market locally, another record shop opened in 2006 by the name of Meow Records. It too slung beats in physical formats to musical enthusiasts all over the community. Despite the store closing after she made her way south, we managed to track down one of the store's former co-owners, now relocated in Vancouver, British Columbia, and reeled them in over the line to speak of this now shuttered, yet storied, retail environment.
So my name is Brenda Ogmundson. Currently, I am a governance office manager for the Provincial Real Estate Association. I was an owner-operator of Meow Records in Prince George from 2006 to 2010.
In the landscape of Prince George, BC, where do you think a record store fits into the culture and fabric of a community? What role should it fill within, say, the Prince George community?
So I think, right, it's going to be more than just selling the goods. I think record stores provide that opportunity to meet other like-minded individuals, and, you know, you gush over your love of random 10 inches or whatever, talk about the band coming to town, learn about new music, and kind of make those connections, even if it's just briefly. Overall, though, I think it kind of depends on who's running the store. So some owners, like the way I did, I took the opportunity to use my store as just another venue in the community. So having that extra space is like a benefit to the local scene. But not all owners will do that, and that's totally fine. Like, as people, we're not the same. I like having a lot of people around. I like coming up with and planning events. Not everybody is like that. So when I had my store, I took the opportunity where I could to support what was going on in the scene. We had so many music shows going on all the time, so I would either just help the band sell their music in the store or their tickets, or put money behind organizations like the Folk Festival, now Cold Snap, and just like, you know, things like Get the Roller Derby League going, providing that space for meetings and planning. There's just so many great things going on. So being able to support where I could as much as I could, either financially with my volunteer efforts or just even providing a space, I think that's an opportunity for where a store, whether it's a record store or any other store, can kind of help fit into that arts and culture fabric and just provide space.
That you were also supporting the emergence of the Roller Derby League is an interesting fact. For example, I can't see that type of thing emerging so well in, say, like a box retail store environment.
That's fair. More rules.
Yeah.
Though she no longer owns the store, fond memories remain. Brindis went on to share with us one of her favorite experiences of operating Meow Records, when the humble local retail space and venue won a national contest for the best record store in Canada on Record Store Day in 2008, and was visited by independent music celebrity Chad Van Galen.
It was a really big deal that year, so for me anyway. So I had a bunch of local musicians play, and I did that every year until I sold the store. So I had a stage in my store called the Awkward Stage, and all day I just had local bands in there playing, and like there'd be sales usually, and it was just fun. It was just a fun time. My customers were just the best, so supportive and so fun and so knowledgeable, lots of them. They taught me a lot about music as well.
To further verify the claims of Meow Records' existence, we reached out to an individual referred to by anonymous sources as a former employee and former aspiring musician, now turned storied local musician, Cal Hildy of the band Crones. He delivers a musician's perspective on the importance of local record vendors to local musicians.
Hello.
Hi. As a younger person, I'm going to assume that you were an aspiring musician, as you are currently a musician now. Do you feel that your time in the record stores around Prince George helped you to get where you're at as an accomplished musician?
Yeah, I definitely think so. They play such key parts for musicians as like a hub, a place for them to sell their music, promote their shows, but also to come together, especially when record stores have events. And there's not really anything quite like it. We have stores that sell musical instruments, but they're kind of catered towards musicians as customers. And record stores, I think, function a little bit differently, where it's like the musicians are what is being sold and promoted. They just provide a service you can't really find anywhere else in town, record stores do.
What I'm gathering from this, too, is that the support you find from your local record store isn't necessarily just the monetary aspect of this is a retail space that will sell a record that you record. There's a fair amount of networking and relationship building that occur in these spaces, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember a time that a band was coming in from out of town, and the venue they were going to play at, There were some issues with it, and they couldn't contact the promoter. And they came into Meow Records, and they were like, we don't know where to go. We don't know where to turn to. We still want to play a show tonight. Can you help us out? And the owner, Rendis, was able to like, well, we know people in town that run venues or promoters or play people to get in contact with. So we were able to get them in contact with a different venue, and they were able to put on their show and actually move forward and not have it be just a waste of time coming to town. So it's good for like locals, but it's also becomes a known place for people coming in from out of town. They can go to have that, like, not quite a safe space, but like a known space where you're talking with people that'll understand what you're trying to do and can help you out, or even if it's just provide a friendly space.
After confirming the existence of Meow Records and speaking to Cal Hildy, storied local musician, I bided my time before Saturday's DJ set at Deadfall Brewing, connecting the dots of record stores past and present on the local retail landscape. I was able to return my thoughts to Second Thoughts Buy and Sell, the last remaining independent brick and mortar record store in this lonely city emerging out of a boreal forest. finally the day arrived. There, at Deadfall Brewing, I renewed my hopes of speaking to Larry and getting the clip. I needed the perspective of a local business owner, embracing recorded music, small business, and free enterprise. Fortunately, the brewery had lured him in. They'd done all the work for me, pulling him out of his store. Surely then, he would be caught off guard enough to speak to me. The brewery was full. Word had gotten out about these soirees. What, with one of the best analog record collections in town, curated live for the audience. From the bustling bodies, it was clear Larry knew how to pick a set list. I could see Larry behind his turntables, but before I could make my way past the crowd inside, brewery co-owner Aaron Berwald intercepted me at the bar, her enthusiasm contagious.
Hi, I'm Aaron Berwald. I am co-owner and vibe coordinator of Deadfall Brewing Company.
You are using your small local business to support yet another small local business, which is a record store, to host an event over here at Deadfall Brewing. Why do you feel it's important to support local record stores?
It's about local and it's about community. Like, it really was vinyl enthusiasts and it really was those record store owners that can talk to you about things that no one else really can. And we feel the same way at Deadfall, that this is a community. You can come here and congregate. And Larry at Second Thoughts is incredibly knowledgeable and it really is a community hub. And so we can join forces, and it really is just to foster that two local businesses helping each other out to merge those communities. I think it's really important. I'm not going to speak for Larry, but I'll speak for Larry.
You're going to have to, because he doesn't want to be interviewed.
So Larry has said that he really, really likes playing here because people actually, rather than playing in the background, people are coming here to listen to music. And people are coming here to listen to vinyl over 2 or 3 years of this now, and it's been growing progressively time after time. And he now, it's a small offshoot of his own store that he sells vinyl in the genre that he's playing, but he brought them here. So we acted as a bit of an offshoot, extended his hours for the day, celebrated vinyl, celebrated independent music and local businesses. So really, it's for both Larry and I, it's a total win-win. It's great synergy. This is something Larry and I have been working on for a little while, is to do this offshoot. He even brought a Taylor Swift and Post Malone exclusive. Come on. He's like, I thought you would want this, Aaron. So come on, that's pretty special.
And I'm going to guess that you probably wouldn't be able to get that same kind of connection if you had found that album through a streaming service app or even a download. Am I correct to assume that?
Yeah, there is joy of going through those crates. There's joy of rifling through them and finding that treasure. As I'm talking, I'm doing the hand motion of rifling through vinyl crates. But there is joy in that discovery. And there's joy, like with Larry, if anybody knows Larry, there's also joy of walking into the record shop and him saying, I have something for you. And you're like, oh no, what did you bring in? And he just knows your taste. And so today, yeah, he showed up with two things for me, one a very obscure Noise album and one a Taylor Swift album. And he's like, just for you. So he just knows the spectrum of people's tastes, and that's community. But yeah, we're absolutely packed. So that's great to see.
An overlap success that is benefiting both your businesses right now, which isn't always easy to do as small local business proprietors.
No, it's really not easy to do. Yay! No, it's really not easy to do. It's hard to find that synergy sometimes, and all you have to do is support each other. And like, he has slow periods, we have slow periods, and we've really worked together to like, how can we help each other through those slow periods? And so it's been awesome. It's been so good. I may spend too much money on vinyl, but.
While the man of the hour remained tight-lipped for the duration of the evening, a perspective emerged regardless. What a record store looks like today versus the record store of the past may have altered. They both exist in a physical reality And though my hopes of digitally capturing Larry, the Second Thoughts buy and sell proprietor, slipped past the pop filter of my microphone by mere meters as he was barricaded behind the turntables, he did inadvertently take this gumshoe down a trail documenting people in our community touched and inspired by the work and roles a physical record store performs in a community like ours, giving people something to hold on to and to dance to, one record at a time. This is Ian Gregg. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca.
On the air with Viewpoints.
Thanks to Ian Gregg in Prince George. We now turn to the other end of the country to tell you about two filmmakers from Liverpool. They have just won the People's Choice Award in this year's Atlantic International Film Festival Youth Film Competition. The short films produced by Easton Goodwin and Desmond Smith tied for the award, which was decided by a round of online voting. Imagine that, a tie. What are the chances? Their films were among 16 finalists out of 40 submissions. Easton, 17 years old, and Desmond, 16, are members of the Astor Theater's Youth Film Club. In its first year, the club's 14 members have produced individual short films and collaborated on longer projects. They recently held a film festival at the Astor to exhibit their work. Easton and Desmond are both students at Liverpool Regional High School and say they're happy to see each other win. They're hoping more youth join the film club when it starts again in September. Here's Rick Conrad.
Desmond says he's happy that he and Easton are sharing the award.
I got an email that said I had been selected for the People's Choice Award, but there was two really great films that kind of tied for the category. And I was like, man, if there's one person who, you know, should have got this award, it should have been Easton. It's a very cool experience, and, you know, I'm glad that Easton got the award, because he really does deserve it. He put a lot of time and effort, and he put all of his heart into the film.
I couldn't believe it, honestly. Growing up, film was one of my biggest dreams, and to get to share this award with, like, one of your best friends, it really is a pleasure, and I loved Desmond's film so much work put into it, and it was great, and I loved it, and I think it's awesome that we get to share it.
Desmond's film November Moon is an homage to David Lynch's movies. It follows a teenager who has visions of creatures haunting him.
What's this? Looks like it's the smallest himself.
Easton's film Past Echoes is a more personal look at a young boy dealing with depression, anxiety, and bullying at school. The two students at Liverpool Regional High School have collaborated before on a short film that also got attention at the Atlantic Film Festival's youth competition. Last year, they and some friends made The Absence, which was the runner-up in the People's Choice vote. Desmond and Easton are members of the Astor Theater's Filmmaking Club, which began in September. More than a dozen youth meet every week to work on their own projects and collaborate on bigger ones. The club is overseen by three adult mentors, Desmond's parents Kyle and Lori, and Dan Williams.
Oh man, there's a lot of really, really talented kids at the film club. They certainly helped me, like, with my film. You know, they're very supportive of the whole thing, which I think is awesome.
The club wraps up for the year when school's out for the summer, but Easton says more kids should join when the club starts up again in September.
We have a great group of people, and they're all so welcoming, so I don't think anyone should be afraid to join or just give it a try.
In the meantime, Easton and Desmond say they're going to keep working on their own projects and help spread the word about the film club and the Astor's Stop Motion Animation Club as well.
So the best advice I've ever received is to just keep making films, keep writing, keep filming every day, and that will eventually improve, and then hopefully I'll be in the industry at some point. So
you can watch the award-winning short films by Desmond Smythe and Easton Goodwin on our website at qccrfm.com/news. And to see all the finalist films on the Atlantic International Film Festival's youth competition this year, go to the festival's YouTube channel. I'm Rick Conrad.
I'm Pamela Hassan in Smithers, BC, and you are listening to Viewpoints.
Questions or comments? Okay. Our email is radio@frequencynews.ca.
And we make our last stop in Montreal, where the NDG Burroughs Art Hop took place on the weekend of May 24th and 25th. The Art Hop is an event where artists in the borough open up their studios or homes to the public. This year, there were 19 artists who opened their studios to the public, showing off a diverse range of art from photography to miniature and model buildings to painting and sculpture. Adam Innes spoke with multiple artists about the importance of Art Hop and the often unexplored and hidden artist culture in NDG. First up, here's Cynthia Davis.
It's just one of those lovely things where we can that supports me as a local artist and my fellow artists, and we get to meet a lot of people from the community and show people what we're working on in our quiet little studios.
It's in Davis's studio where artists meet at the beginning of the Art Hop to plan the weekend and learn about each other.
I open my studio for the meetings of the Art Hop, so I get to meet most of the participants, and I to see what they're working on, and we all try to support each other's amazing work, like Scott McLeod and Tamar Cohn and Train Man, and there's such interesting work being done in the neighborhood.
Kata Androdi is a first-time Art Hop participant, only discovering her gift and passion for photography 5 years ago. Androdi's studio is in her home. She opened her doors to allow people to see her photography and take a look at her process.
It's my first time. It's an amazing initiative, bringing together artists locally and meeting the community and getting to know each other and getting to know people from the community, NDG, and from outside of the community. So I'm really happy and proud of being part of it.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
That's all for us at Viewpoints. Thanks to our LJI journalist, Ian Gregg, Adam Innes, and Rick Conrad. Our national editors are Victoria Fenner and Conrad Fox. Viewpoints is brought to you by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassaigne. Thanks for having us this week, and until the next chat.
Frequencynews.ca.